But why don't I pray for us before we get going? Glorious Heavenly Father, we pray that this morning you would cause your Spirit to yield and wield his sword, that we might be changed by your word. Would you cut us to the heart, and would you teach us to pray in a way that reflects your nature as a sovereign God? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer changes things. It's the sort of phrase you might find on a fridge magnet. You might have it up on your home, in your home somewhere. Prayer changes things. And it's true, prayer does change things. I wonder if you remember these wristbands. They were all the rage when I was... next slide, Anthony. They were all the rage when I was growing up. The first one that came out, the big one, was WWJD. What would Jesus do? I wonder if any of you wore those. Maybe if you're from my generation, you might have. But then the second one they brought out was that one in the middle, the rainbow one, PUSH. And that stands for Pray Until Something Happens. Prayer changes things. If we pray, we believe that something will happen. Prayer makes a difference. The third one they brought out, that red one, FROG, that stands for Fully Reliant on God. And that one tells us that we don't need to worry because God is in control. God is sovereign, and that means that we can rely on him. Jesus says to his disciples in Luke 12, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Your Father knows you need them. God is sovereign. He is fully and totally in control of everything. So we don't need to worry. We can rely on him. And that's good news, isn't it? That God is sovereign. He is in control. But what does that mean for our prayer lives? If God is sovereign, if God is in total and complete control of everything that happens in the whole of creation, if nothing happens in the whole of creation is outside of his control, then does prayer really change things? If God is totally and completely in control, then surely he knows what we need, as Jesus said in Luke 12, and he knows what's going on in the world and all the rest. In which case, why do we need to pray? If God is sovereign, then surely praying to him won't change anything at all. So what's the point in praying to a sovereign God? Picture with me a guitar string, the next picture, or any string instrument you might prefer, a violin or a cello or maybe a harp. But on all those instruments there are two fixed points, opposite ends, and between those two points you hook up a string, and those two fixed points hold it there in tension. And once that happens, you can then play music on it. And throughout the Bible, we find lots of areas where there are two kind of fixed points that the Bible gives us. And they just don't seem to go together. They don't seem to match up. And one of those is the question we have before us. On this side, we've got God is sovereign. He's in total control. And on this side, we've got our prayers change things. Nothing happens outside of God's control of creation. We are responsible for praying for things to happen, and when we pray, things do happen. And when we face these two fixed points, the temptation to try and drop one of them or explain it away, to get rid of that tension. But if we do that, if you were to take away one of those fixed points or move it, and take away the tension, you'd lose the ability to make music. Only when those two points are fixed in place and create that tension in that string, can the string make a sound. And so as we approach these two fixed points that we have before us this morning, God is sovereign, prayer changes things, we need to hold them in tension together. Because when we do that, we can experience the beautiful music of life as God's people. the way God created life to work. But what does that actually look like when it comes to us praying? John Calvin famously said that prayer is the chief exercise of faith. By which he means that faith in Jesus, if it is real, will naturally exercise itself in prayer. Prayer is simply faith exercised. When we flex the muscles of faith, prayer is the result. And as we do that, our relationship with God grows. Prayer is God's chosen means through which we grow in our personal relationship with Him, and so become instruments to bring about His sovereign purposes. Through prayer, God brings us into a deeper relationship with Him and makes us a part of the outworking of His complete control over creation. So as we pray, things do change. We do make a difference because God has chosen to work that way. That's the way He wants to work, because He wants us to be involved as His children. How then does this shape the way we pray when we put our hands together and close our eyes? Well, in our passage from Ephesians that we had read for us, we see three ways that this tension works out as Paul exercises his faith in prayer. Here's the first, it's on the screen. God is sovereign in our salvation. You can go back, Anthony. God is sovereign in our salvation. And that leads Paul to begin his prayer for the Ephesians by thanking God. Have a look down at verse 15. Paul says, "Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Paul knows that God is sovereign in salvation. So when he hears about the faith of the Christians in Ephesus, his response is to give thanks to God. "Ever since I heard about your faith, I have not stopped giving thanks to God." And you can see there at the beginning of verse 15 that Paul says, "for this reason." And we could have had the whole of chapter 1 read and got the whole reason, but let me just read from chapter 1, verse 3. The reason that Paul prays thanksgiving to God is that God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. The reason that Paul gives thanks is because he knows that God is sovereign. Before the creation of the world, God chose us in Christ to be adopted to sonship. Which means that when Paul hears about someone coming to faith, he doesn't run up to them and say, "well done." Paul doesn't write to the Ephesians and say, "hey guys, I heard about your faith. Good job, thanks for becoming Christians." Instead, when he hears about their faith, he gives thanks to God, because he knows that God is sovereign in our salvation. There's a song I really like. This is the next slide, Anthony. There's a song I really like by a group called Sovereign Grace Music. We sing a lot of their songs here, none today, but we had one last week. And they have a song on their newest album called Cling to Christ. And this is how the bridge of that song goes. It says, "it's more than I can do to keep my hold on you, but all my hope and peace is that you cling to me." And what this means is that God's sovereignty in our salvation should be a great comfort to us. Because it's not based on how well we can hold on. It's not based on the tightness of our grip. Because it's more than I can do to keep my hold on Jesus. But all my hope and peace is that he clings to me. God is sovereign in our salvation. He has chosen us to be adopted. And that means that we can be sure that he won't let us go. Being a Christian is a bit like going rock climbing. When you go rock climbing, you don't just jump up on the wall and start going, unless your name is Peter Parker. Before you get climbing, you make sure you're all hooked up with all the safety ropes and the harnesses and all the rest. Because the chances are that if you're not Spider-Man, at some point you're going to struggle. You're going to lose your grip. And it's a big comfort to know that if you do, you're not going to go crashing down to the ground. Our confidence as Christians doesn't need to be in our own ability to cling on to Jesus, because he has a firm grip on us. God is sovereign in our salvation. So when we pray, we must thank him as Paul does. And it means that we should not only thank him for our own faith, but for the faith of others as well. You see, Paul thanks God for the faith of all the Christians in a whole city. So why not make it your goal this week to thank God for your faith and to thank God for the faith of your brothers and sisters here at Christchurch, those you know in other areas. Thank God for faith, because it comes from him. And this means as well that if God is sovereign in our salvation, then we need to pray for others to come to faith, because it's God's work to do it. That means members of our families, friends, neighbours, the people in our parish. Many of those people come through our doors throughout the year. As a church, we need to pray for these people, both individually and together as we pray in our services on a Sunday morning. We must pray for these people to come to faith in Jesus, because God is sovereign in salvation. That's our first point. God is sovereign in our salvation. So when you pray, thank him. Here's the second thing. God is sovereign in our growth. Having thanked God for the faith of these Christians, Paul then goes on to tell them how he's praying for them. Have a look at verse 17 with me. Paul says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." Paul's prayer for the Ephesians is that God would help them to get to know him better, because God is sovereign in our growth as Christians. Paul thanks God because apart from his powerful transforming work, these people would never have come to faith. And now Paul prays to God because apart from his powerful transforming work, these people will never be able to grow in their faith. Without God's help, we have no hope of getting to know him better. See, we can't just reach up to him and get a face-to-face. They tried to do that in Genesis 11. You can read about that. It didn't work. We can't reach up to God. So we need him. We need to ask him to reach down to us. So Paul asked God that he would give the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Listen to how Don Carson puts it in his book on prayer. He says, "Christians need the spirit of God to reveal more of himself and his ways to us if we are to know God better. For it is the spirit's task to take things that belong to the domain of God, the domain of glory, and bring them to us so that we can receive them. Only such work by God's Spirit will enable us to know him better. Therefore, we must pray for it." That's exactly what Paul does. And that's exactly what we need to do. If we are going to know God better, we need to ask him to help us to understand. Because ultimately it is God, and God alone, who can reveal himself to us and help us to grasp what he reveals. We'll never grow in our faith and our knowledge of God if we don't ask God to help us. Come back with me to the rock climbing. I don't know if you've ever been rock climbing and had that experience where you're kind of halfway up, you're doing okay, but you're just getting tired. And you just don't think you can make it any further, you're starting to struggle to hold on. And then the person holding a rope down below, they start shouting, "Go on, give me some encouragement." And I'm just thinking, come on, just give the rope a pull, help me out. I'm getting tired. Maybe you felt like that, I definitely have. And I'm pretty sure that if I was to do that and shout down to the person to pull me up, they'd say, just get off the wall, just give up. But God is not only sovereign in our salvation, in attaching a safety rope to us, he's also sovereign in our growth. So we can ask him to help us, and he will. So as we get down and read our Bibles, as you get down and read your Bible this week, ask God to help you. Because without his help, we'll never grow as Christians. God wants to help us, so ask him. In fact, Christian growth, both for ourselves and praying for others, as Paul does, should be our priority when we pray. We've seen this over the last few weeks as we looked at a number of Paul's prayers. In all of them, growth in Christian faith is always his priority. Whether he's thanking God for people's faith or asking him to grow people's faith, it's always the first thing he wants to pray for. And God answers these prayers. Some of you will know that I work for an organisation called UCCF, supporting Christian unions and universities to share the gospel with their campuses, to reach their campuses for Jesus. And at this time of year, around February, a lot of CUs all over the country put on what's called a mission week. So it's a week of events aimed at giving people the opportunity to hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus through events throughout the day, lunchtimes and evenings. And this past week, there's been a number of mission weeks in the kind of regional team that I'm a part of, which includes Oxford and Cambridge and Norwich and Hertfordshire, where I am. Some of you remember Nick Tucker used to come here. He was the main speaker at the mission in Cambridge this past week. But I want us to go to Oxford. So on Friday morning, we all in our team got a message from one of my colleagues in Oxford that he was meeting with a student who'd been along to some of the events during that week. He wasn't a Christian. And could we pray, as Ollie met with him, that he might become a Christian? So we did. And on Friday evening, as I was sat writing this talk, I was at this exact point in my script, Ollie messaged us to say that this guy had become a Christian. God answers our prayers. And he answers them because he has promised to. That brings us to our third point. God has displayed his sovereign power. God has shown, he has proved his ability to do what he promises. Look down at verse 19. Paul says, "That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his fullness, which is his body, the fullness of him who lives, fills everything in every way." God has shown us that he has the ability to do what he promises. God has displayed his sovereign power to the whole world by raising Christ, by exalting him, and placing all things under his feet. Before Christmas, we were looking at a small section of Isaiah together on Sunday mornings. And since then, I've decided to look at it by myself in my morning Bible readings. And throughout the book of Isaiah, there's a phrase which I've noticed keeps coming up. God says again and again, and it will be in that day, this will happen. You might remember that Dominic said to us that in Isaiah, God is telling the people what will happen before it happens, so that when it happens, they'll know that he did it. They'll see God's sovereign power displayed. And we see that throughout the Old Testament, and when we see, as we get to the New Testament, as we get to Christmas, that the whole Old Testament is a story pointed to Jesus. The whole Old Testament is God saying, and it will be, in that day I will do this. God consistently tells his people what will happen, and then he does it. And he has displayed his sovereign power in all its fullness by sending his son to die and then raising him from the dead. And not just raising him, but exalting him far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that can be invoked, and placing all things under his feet. God said he would do it, and he did it. When God makes a promise, you can be sure he'll fulfill it. He has shown us he can. He has displayed his sovereign power. And so God's sovereign purposes, what he has said he will do, are what shape Paul's priorities as he prays. God's purpose is to bring all things under Christ, as he says in Ephesians 1, verses 9 and 10. And God's purpose is to make us more like Christ. We saw that God is sovereign in our growth. And we see it in Romans 28. It's one of the most, probably the most misapplied verses in the whole Bible. Here it is. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And the reason it's misapplied is because people don't read the next verse. Here it is. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. This is what God has promised to do, to make us more like Jesus. And that is what gives Paul confidence as he prays in line with those purposes. So as we, with Paul, learn to pray in line with God's purposes, and as we pray for our Christian growth, we'll learn to do that more and more. As we learn to pray in line with God's purposes, we can trust God's sovereign power to answer our prayers and to work towards that final day when every knee will bow to Jesus, which is our hope, our glorious inheritance in Christ, which Paul talked about in verse 18. That day when we will be with Jesus and we will be like him. That is where history is heading, to the day when we will see God face to face and become perfectly like Jesus. And God promises to help us to work towards that day, giving us growth in our Christian faith now. So, this week, will you flex the muscles of faith and pray to our sovereign God? Will you exercise your faith and grow your relationship with God by accepting his invitation to be involved in bringing about his sovereign plans? Will you let God's, will let Paul's priorities in prayer, as we've seen them over the last few weeks, as we've seen how God's sovereignty shapes them today, will you let them instruct your prayer life? God is sovereign in our salvation. So when you pray, thank him. God is sovereign in our growth. So when you pray, ask him. And God has displayed his sovereign power. So when you pray, trust him. Let me pray for us now. Father, we praise you for our faith in Christ. We praise you that you have brought us to know him. And we pray that you would stir our hearts to pray for those who don't know him. that they would come to faith in Jesus. And we pray that you would stir our hearts to pray in line with your plan to make us like Jesus. Would you give us growth as Christians now? And as we exercise our faith, would you grow our relationship with you? Would we count it a joy to be involved in your sovereign plans? And would we trust your power to answer our prayers? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.